We are back. You're listening to episode number 12 of You Would Think, the Philly Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington, and I'm here to tell you that you can find the show on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at K Collington, Mike at Mike underscore Gelato. And you can also find the show on Facebook, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, and lastwordonsports.com. Now, over to that very co-host I just mentioned. How you doing, Mike?
What's up, man? How's it going?
Good, man. It's another week. I just got back from the doctor. I'm no longer day-to-day.
No, you're good to go, huh?
I've been cleared to return to full action.
There you go.
So
it's good to hear.
I'm back to help the team.
Yep, exactly.
Speaking of injuries, a little bit of news broke Monday morning.
Yeah.
Michael Roffel's out 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
We're jumping right into the Flyers talk.
Yeah, let's just jump right into it. It's a thing that that's not going to hurt too much. Like, it's Michael Roffel.
Yeah, he's a middle slash bottom six guy. He's a good third liner, but I don't think it's going to, you know, make or break the rest of the Flyers season.
No, I don't think so. And if I had to guess, I'll probably just slot in, you know, Laterra
there. It's going to be Jori Laterra.
Yeah, I don't see any call-ups coming.
No, and the announcement didn't include any word about call-ups. So I don't really foresee anything there either. You know, Roffel's been fine recently, but he's not a huge loss.
No.
No, I mean...
No, not at all.
You know, he's not that much better than Jori Laterra, where that substitute is going to cripple the team.
No, I mean, unless you want to call up... I mean, who else would you call up? A Vecchione?
Yeah, there's really not a ton going on down there unless you call up a Colin McDonald or... a Cole Bardrow, you know, one of these guys that aren't really NHL players.
Right. So it probably doesn't make sense to do anything like that.
No. Now, see, the one thing, though, is Roffel was playing on the top line a little bit this weekend.
A little bit, yeah.
And I imagine that Travis Konecny will just kind of slide back up to where he was.
If I had to guess, yeah.
You would think.
You would think.
But, yeah, so we'll look and see what the Flyers do. The first time we'll see that is Tuesday against Detroit. But I imagine that Konecny just moves up and Jori Laterra slots back in and things continue as normal with Michael Roffel holding that little scratch spot.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah. And then the Flyers continue to get healthier. Robert Hagg came back for Sunday's game against the Capitals.
He did. They needed some...
They need some
better
physicality.
The physicality and better defensive play overall.
Yeah, I think they definitely missed his physicality during the recent losing skid. And I think having him back really helped. They shut Washington down.
They did. And Washington can score. They can put pucks in the net, sure.
I don't know what happened towards the end of the third period, but they showed a stat about halfway through the third period in that Sunday game against Washington. Alex Ovechkin only had one shot.
Yeah, no, they shut him down.
Yeah, and that one shot was a goal. Right. Because it's Alex Ovechkin.
He shot 1,000.
Right. But it wasn't even really a shot. He kind of just tipped it towards the net. You know, if you remember, that puck came across the middle, and he kind of just deflected it, and it went in the net, and it counts as a shot. But he didn't have any of his signature right above the faceoff dot,
just
know, clappers.
Let it rip.
Right.
Right. It was good to see that when Hag came back, they didn't send Sanheim down.
I agree.
Instead, they took out the guy that should have come out of the lineup probably a long time ago in Brandon Manning.
Yeah, they put him back in the press box where he belongs.
Yeah.
I like Brandon Manning, but he's a seventh NHLB man.
Yeah, and he's played way too many minutes.
And I agree.
Way too much time.
Yeah, he's been in the lineup for like 2 months at this point.
So he's not the everyday player.
No, and also to Sanheim's credit, he looked pretty good.
He looked really good.
He looked really good.
Yeah, he looked really good.
Now, like, I don't know what his Corsi numbers look like, and we all know that's what matters. But
hashtag stats that matter.
Hashtag stats that matter. Hey, Bill, what's up, buddy? No, but he looked good. You know, the eye test. He looked good. He had a couple of nice little scoring chances. He put the puck on the net. He really did a good job this weekend of just playing good defense.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And he was stuck with AMAC, and he made AMAC look decent. You know, AMAC scored 2 goals this past week.
Yeah, he did.
Which is nuts.
Yeah, he played really well. He's showing that he has a speed that we all thought he did. He's got the vision. He's got the awareness.
Are we still talking about AMAC?
No, we're not talking about AMAC. Oh, okay. No. It's talking about Travis Sanheim.
Yeah, I think the time down in Lehigh Valley really let Sanheim breathe.
Yeah, and he didn't, you know, sour or pout.
Right.
You know, he went down there, he dominated the league for about 2 or 3 months. He
played his ass off.
Yeah, so there's really nothing bad you can say about Travis Sanheim right now.
And I think he absolutely acknowledged that if he got another chance to come up, he had to make the best of it.
And oh, yeah,
so
for sure.
So far, he's made the best of it. He's played really, really well. And I think, you know, going into next season, if this is our decor, I'm pretty good with it.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Like, if your top two is Provorov and Ghost, and your second pair is Hag and Sanheim, and then your third pair is McDonald and Gudas, that's a great top six.
Yeah, and then you wonder if Moran slots in anywhere.
Right. And I, like, that's a great top
six. Or Philippe Myers.
Yeah, I think Philippe Myers is still at least one more year away. I know he's missed a decent amount of this season in Lehigh Valley with some injuries. But so is Marin, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I've talked a little bit on the show about Sam Marin, and I think it's time to trade him.
You think so?
Listen to the top six I just laid out. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And if you can trade Sam Marin while he still has some value around the league.
If he has any. I don't know if he has value.
I don't know if he has very much.
I mean, maybe, but
I think a team like Buffalo, I think, would really like him.
Yeah, Buffalo could use the physicality and the big body on the blue line, and for sure.
They've always liked guys like that. You know, that's what they thought Tyler Myers was.
Right.
And that's what they thought, you know, Rasmus Ristolainen is very good, but they thought he was this big Hulk and beater, and it turns out he's just a good skilled hockey player.
Right.
But it seems like Buffalo would be a decent trade partner, and I don't really know what they have to offer back. But if they offer you a second round pick for Sam Marin, like, you probably take it at this point in his career, right?
Maybe. You know, I think I would want a little more than that. He was a first round pick.
But he hasn't played like a first round pick. He was a first round pick in 2013.
Yeah, or 14, whenever it was.
Yeah, and he's got what, 5 games NHL time?
Something like that.
Something like
5
that.
5 to 7. And something. Yeah,
and that's not what you want out of a first round pick.
No, not at all. So until I'm proven otherwise, he's a bust at this point.
Right. So if somebody offers me a second round pick for him, I'd probably take him. Yeah. Especially if he's not going to make your top six next year.
Right.
His value's not going up.
No.
Like, he's by no means old, but he's not getting younger.
Yeah.
Like, he's just not. And maybe he turns into, you know, Dustin Byfuglien 2.0. But at this point, with the team you have and the prospects you have, I think Marin is expendable.
Yeah, at this point right now, yeah.
And I like Sam Marin. Like, you know, I like Sam Marin.
You've been the biggest Sam Marin defender.
For the last 2 or 3 years, I've really been a fan, and I really wanted him to make a push to make the roster and be a regular part of your defensive core.
Especially when you see him, you know, throwing around AHL guys like ragdolls.
Demolishing people. Sometimes the Sam Marin fights YouTube rabbit hole. It's a good one.
Because he just tosses them around nothing.
Yeah. My favorite is when he hits somebody, they try to fall, and he just picks them back up right. So he can keep beating on them.
Nope, you're not done yet.
Right. And then you can tell the linesmen don't want to get in the middle of them.
No, you don't want to get in the middle of that at all.
No, and he's a good aggressive fighter.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe there's no room for that in the NHL.
It's starting to gear away from that.
We're trending away from that. I agree. And, you know, everybody knows that Chara is a step too slow at this point in his career. And even Dustin Byfuglien is starting to slow down a little bit. And Sam isn't as fast as those guys to begin with.
Right.
So, you know, he can't afford to lose a step when he's already a step behind.
Yeah.
So I'm going to push in the offseason for the Flyers to trade him.
Or you keep him around and find somebody to grab Andrew McDonald and then just slot Moran in for that spot.
Yeah, but if that happens, I'd almost rather have Philippe Myers in the lineup.
Yeah, but like you said, you thought, you know, Philippe Myers was still a year away.
Yeah, and I think that you can hold on to AMAC for one more year. And then when you
buy... Wow, you want to keep AMAC?
No, not at all.
Wow.
And I don't... Okay. I don't hate the idea of keeping him. But you're not going to get anything for him. You're probably going to have to give up something to get somebody to take that contract. And
yeah, probably.
He's fine on the bottom pair. my hatred for Andrew McDonald started when he was playing top 2 minutes with Provorov last year. Because he was playing top 2 minutes because you had to give Provorov top 2 minutes. He earned them.
And then he's playing PK 1 minute and he was just getting...
He's all over the place.
Yeah, he was getting minutes like a top pair defenseman. He just isn't that.
If Andrew McDonald plays 11 minutes a night, he's a very good defenseman in that role.
Yeah, which I've told you before, but you know, want to chew my ear off apparently.
Well, because he's awful, Mike.
Okay.
And when he's on the ice for 19 to 23 minutes a game and he's one of your top two or top four defensemen, he's awful. Now, you can absorb a couple of turnovers from your bottom pair defensemen. Good teams can overcome that.
Yeah.
But you cannot have that guy playing top 2 minutes.
No, I agree with you.
You can't have that guy on the ice for 24 minutes a game.
I agree with you completely.
So that's my issue with Andrew McDonald. It's not even so much his play specifically, although that is atrocious. It's the fact that we're seeing twice as much of him as we should.
And whose fault is that? It's your boy Dave Haxtell.
It is.
It's your boy Dave Haxtell.
It is Holmgren's for signing him to that deal.
Okay, Holmgren doesn't have anything to do with it. He's upstairs, you know, in the press box just...
Doing nothing. He's what, the president now?
Yeah,
he's not even...
twiddles his thumbs. Yeah. So he has nothing to do with this now. Like, yeah, he gave him that deal, and he made that awful trade, but, like, to get him.
Right.
But, what's done is done.
I understand.
It's a different situation now. Now you have to deal with it now. And who's the guy giving him the 20-plus, 25 minutes a night?
I wouldn't be surprised come this offseason. The Flyers currently are paying two former contracts. They're paying Ilya Bryzgalov and RJ Umberger. Fact.
Are they? Fact. I thought Umberger was done.
Umberger's done after this season.
Okay. Maybe that's what I thought. All right.
Wouldn't surprise me if you see AMAC take that role.
Get bought out?
Yeah, because they haven't had the option before now.
Maybe.
It wouldn't surprise me. Like, I'm sure they're going to try to trade him. I'm sure they're gonna listen to offers and inquire. But if we don't hear anything from that by late July, early August, wouldn't surprise me if they buy him out.
That's interesting. I don't hate it, obviously.
Because he's still got, what, 2 more years left?
If this one, I believe so. I'll have to check on...
check cap friendly for me. But like, we've talked about it before. Within the next... I love the fact that the Flyers are building from within. But that comes with some inherent risks. In the next couple of years, over the next 3 off seasons, you're going to have to pay Travis Konecny, Nolan Patrick, Ivan Provorov. You know what kind of money Provorov's going to call for?
What do you think?
I would pay him $7 million without batting an eye. Now, I don't necessarily know his attitude towards it, but if you can lock him up for 6 or 7 years, I'll pay him $7 million a pop.
I think he'll probably get, if I had to guess, probably 6 or 6.5, if I had to guess.
Yeah. No, I hope not, and I don't know who his agent is, and I don't know who else his agent represents, but I hope they don't do a bridge deal. I hate the bridge deal, because if he touches free agency, he's going to go to $8 million, no doubt.
Yeah.
So I want to lock him up like they did with Ghost, and they did a great job with Ghost. Ghost is on a very good deal.
Ghost is like $4.5 million for the next 6 years,
right?
And we're seeing Norris type numbers from him. So if that's what Ghost is going to be for the duration of this contract, that's a tremendous deal.
That's a Wayne Simmons contract.
Yeah.
And then that'll get him until he's in his late 20s.
To answer your question, yes, Andrew McDonald's 2 more years left.
2 more years
after
left
this.
Yeah. I think now is when you can buy him out.
Maybe.
I could see it. I don't necessarily know. They might stick with him for 1 more year and then buy him out when he's got 1 year left. Because that's the offseason you'll need to pay Provorov and Konecny.
Yeah.
Like this offseason, nobody comes up this offseason really, right? None of the significant guys.
I don't think so.
None of your big guys, Konecny or Provorov or...
No.
You already paid Ghost.
You could be Montreal and have to pay, Carey Price, who turns 31 in the summer. And next year starts his... 8-year, $10.5 million a year deal. And he turns 31 in the summer.
Wow, that's a bad deal.
Yeah, he starts his 8-year deal. Going to be 31 years old.
Wow.
So he could be in that situation.
Although if he hit UFA, he would probably make 11.
Maybe.
I mean, for Carey Price at 31?
Right.
You're telling me you wouldn't offer him 4 years, $11 million?
Yeah, if you're in it. You think you're a contender.
Right. Carey Price starts in 29 or 30 nets in the NHL right now.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Like he's
the best goaltender in the league.
He might be the best goalie in the world.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, you're a Carter Hart fan. Which, by the way, his season wrapped up.
Oh, yes. First off.
I'm being facetious, yes. Mike.
Don't compare. I understand Carter Hart's getting the comparisons of Carey Price, but you cannot compare the two yet.
No, I absolutely agree with you. I know. Don't get your panties in a twist. I mean,
Carey Price is one of the best goalies ever. Granted, he hasn't like won anything, so say what you will about that.
Right.
But, I mean, Carter Hart hasn't had a game in the NHL yet, obviously.
No, I understand, but...
Looks like he's going to be a stud, and I hope he is a stud.
Right. On that note, Carter Hart's junior season wrapped up.
Yep.
He started 41 games in the WHL. He did play some World Juniors, and he did some other little things that kind of kept him out of the net there. He started 41 games. Did you see his goals against?
Yeah, I did. Read him to me.
1.60 with a save percentage of 0.947.
That's interesting because the WHL is really...
The WHL is a high-scoring league.
Yeah, it is. It's a very high-scoring league.
And he just absolutely dominated.
Do you have the list of the goalies there or no?
I don't.
Because I know the next goal... I remember seeing it.
And
the next goalie has like a whole goal more
like
per 2.8. Game.
Yeah, it's
absurd.
Carter Hart is leagues above the rest of the entire WHL.
Yeah. Now, where do you see him? When do you see him come into the NHL?
I think I laid this out on a show before. Next year, you still have Elliott and Neuwirth signed.
Yeah, and maybe Mrazek.
As of right now, you don't have Mrazek signed.
All right.
I could see them giving Mrazek a year.
Okay.
So I think
and then running with three goalies or sending one of them down or trading one?
I think you try to trade. I think you probably trade Elliott. He's had a good year. His value is high. He's not your goalie of the future. Peter Mrazek is what, 25, 26?
He's young. He's very young. Yeah.
I could see. Okay, if I'm in charge, which is a scary thought. Right? Okay, so I sign Mrazek to 3 or 4 years at relatively cheap. I trade Elliott. So next year, my goaltending tandem is Mrazek and Neuwirth. Carter Hart's starting 55 games in the AHL.
Okay.
I want him getting a ton of work.
Yep.
After next season, Neuwirth walks.
Yep.
Okay. And then you have Mrazek with a couple years left on his deal. And then you have Carter Hart coming up. And then you have Lyon or Sandstrom or whoever in the AHL. You know, it depends on if Felix Sandstrom comes over to the States. I'm disregarding that. I'm assuming he will eventually. I also don't particularly care about the net mining situation in Lehigh Valley.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the big club here.
All right.
So next year, you have Mrazek and Neuwirth. At the end of next year, Neuwirth walks. The following season, so 2019-2020.
Yep.
Carter Hart and Peter Mrazek are your goalies. And I think you see how they look in camp. And I think it's Mrazek's job with Carter Hart as a 1A, unless Carter Hart proves he's ready.
Okay.
And I think that's kind of a transition season where they each start 40 games, you know, presuming everybody stays healthy, knock on wood.
Yep.
And if Carter Hart proves that he's the guy, then you ship Mrazek with 1 year left on his deal, or even run him as a Michael Neuwirth type backup. Mm-hmm. And Carter Hart's your goalie of the future.
Okay. I don't hate it.
And Carter Hart wins the Vezina by 2025.
2025.
Giving him plenty of time.
Okay.
Plenty of time. If I have him up in the 1920 season, that gives him 5 years to win it.
Yeah.
Goalie's in the league for 5 years.
That could happen.
You know, if he is what we think he is.
It sure looks like he's going to be a stud.
Right. And now, the goalies are tough because they're all head cases.
Oh, of course.
And the thing about goalies is one injury can affect a goaltender more than any other thing. Speaking one knee injury, one hamstring.
Speaking of goaltending injuries, Anthony Stolarz made a start in the ECHL?
Two starts,
okay.
For the Reading Royals. I actually have a friend who's a Reading Royals season ticket holder.
It's a thing?
They live in the area.
Okay.
Well, they went to like 20 games their first year, so they might as well get season tickets.
Okay.
And she said that the first game he looked all right. He was pretty rusty, as you would expect.
You would imagine, yeah.
They lost that game in overtime.
Okay.
And then they played, I think, the following day, and he got the start again.
And back-to-backs?
I think so. Or it might have been like Friday and Sunday.
Okay, yeah, it probably was back-to-backs if I had to guess.
Right, but just because of how those leagues work. Those guys all have day jobs.
Yeah, not only that, but this guy hasn't played in how long?
Well, and I think it was actually a back-to-back. And she said by the end of the second game, he looked really comfortable in that.
Okay, and that's good. It's good to see.
I think he made like 30-plus saves in that game, too.
It's good to see.
Now, forgive me if I'm wrong. I don't have the stats directly right in front of me, but from what she said, and again, she's been a season ticket holder. She's a big hockey fan. Shout out Amanda.
Per league sources, he looked okay.
Per season ticket holder sources.
Stolarz looked decent.
Yeah, but he's never going to play again, right, Mike?
You're gonna hound me on this, right?
Absolutely. You put your word on it live on the air.
Well, hold on. First, I want to do some explaining.
He's gonna cop out here. You ready?
No, because
all right, hit me with that cop out, Mike.
What I said was, I never said his professional career was done. I said his career as an NHL starting goaltender was done.
I don't think you qualified it that tight.
Maybe I didn't say starter. I said NHL goalie. I definitely said NHL player. I months and months and months ago,
yep,
there was a source that told me his career was in jeopardy.
You and I had a mutual source on this one. Yeah, I heard the same story you did.
I had a source that where, you know, his career was in jeopardy. Now, maybe things changed.
I believe we heard his career was done.
I don't know if I use the word done. They feared his career was done.
The quote was, he'll never play again.
Yeah, basically.
I remember. I was in the same room.
That's basically what happened. So, I mean, obviously that was months and months and months ago.
Right.
So things change.
Yeah, and
I did say NHL goalie.
Right.
So just because he made a start at the ECHL for the Reading Royals, some, you know, vaunted hockey club, apparently.
So this is what a cop-out sounds like, by the way.
This isn't a cop-out.
Okay. Now, what happens if he plays for the Phantoms?
And then he's one step closer.
Okay.
That's still not an NHL goalie.
Do you think, if healthy, do you think he's a better goaltender than Alex Lyon?
If this injury never... Oh, God.
If he's healthy.
If the injury never happened...
If he comes back at 100%.
And he's the player that he was before the injury?
Right.
Yes. It's probably close because I've seen a lot from Lyon over the last few games.
Especially Sunday against the Capitals.
Or even on Thursday against Columbus when Mrazek did not play well at all.
No, I was at that game.
Yeah, Lyon came in.
And they pulled him and the crowd cheered.
Yeah. No, Lyon came in and made 18 saves on 18 shots.
Yeah.
Now, they lost the game because, you know, Mrazek let up 5 goals.
4 goals on 10 shots? Yeah. Well, but then there was the empty netter. So.
Okay, sure. 4 goals.
4 goals on 10 shots right. Mrazek let up in that game.
So, I mean, Lyon's looked good.
Yeah. He played really, really well this weekend. No, I'm sorry. Mrazek started yesterday, didn't he? Lyon started on Saturday against Carolina. I know that for a fact.
Yeah. Mrazek did start yesterday. I'm playing him in Fantasy Hockey Championship, but nobody wants to hear that.
No.
All right, keep going.
God, I hope you lose. No, but Lyon looked really, really good in relief on Thursday against the Blue Jackets.
Yeah,
made,
he did.
Made a couple of stellar saves. He got a couple of standing ovations from the Wells Fargo Center.
Yeah, no, he kept them in the game.
He earned all of it. There was one penalty kill. And he made 3 or 4 10 bell saves, man.
Yeah.
Full blown save of the year type saves. And then Dave Haxtell rewarded him with the start in Carolina. And he looked really good.
Yeah. No, he looked really good.
Like the one goal was a shot from the point that got deflected. Nothing you can do about
that. Can't blame him, though.
Right. And then I don't remember what Carolina's other goal was, but it just beat him.
Yeah.
And if you're fourth string goalie for all intents and purposes gets beat by a shot, all right, fine. And if that's the only shot he gets beat by, you're pretty happy about it.
Yeah.
He looked really good.
Yeah, he's playing really well.
The Flyers have had to go pretty deep down the well this year.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Not quite as deep as Vegas has.
Is Alex Lyon our Nick Foles?
Is Alex Lyon our Nick Foles?
Or comes out of nowhere. Nobody expects anything from him. Nick Foles goes and wins the Super Bowl MVP.
Now, that's a tough one. How hot does he have to be for you to not give the crease back to Elliott?
Yeah, Elliott started skating and practicing, so he seems closer
He seems close.
To coming back.
It wouldn't surprise me if you see him in Lehigh Valley by the end of the month for a rehab start. Because yeah, I think maybe. They'll give him a rehab start.
Think so?
I think one, because he's on the older side.
Right.
And because the NHL games are so important at this stage,
yeah.
just because you're fighting for playoff position, he would have to go through waivers, wouldn't he? There's no way he makes it through waivers.
He might not have to go through waivers if it's an injury rehab start.
How that works?
Yeah, I think if it's through injury and rehab, you don't have to.
If the Flyers have the option, I would rather give him that rehab start because I'd rather have him start in Lehigh Valley than play a game against the New York Islanders on April 3rd who we're fighting with for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
Or the Easter Sunday game against the Boston Bruins.
Right.
Who we're, fighting for in the playoff race. The Flyers' last four games of the season are Boston, and we'll talk about this as we get a little closer, but they're Boston, the Islanders, Carolina, and the Rangers. That's a tough stretch down the end.
Yeah.
And if Brian Elliott is going to come back, he's going to need at least one start to shake off the rust.
Now, it looked like the season was going to go downhill really really fast.
Yeah, the Flyers were in danger.
So you lose the Blue Jackets game, right? In a heartbreaking way almost. You tried to fight and claw back, but ultimately it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And then you had the Saturday game against the Carolina Hurricanes, where most would consider it a must-win game.
The Blue Jackets, by the way. You said the Blues.
I'm sorry, the Blue Jackets.
Yeah.
My bad. So then you had the Saturday game against Carolina, where most people consider it a must-win game.
And by the way, that Columbus loss was, I think, 6 out of 7 losses.
Yeah, so you lose that game.
As part of a big skid. Losing to that Columbus team was really, really tough. That was bad. They lost 6 out of 7.
And then you go into the Carolina game. Well, you're down 1-0 going into the third period, and you're like, here we go. We can't buy a goal. We can't score. Here we go again.
Yep.
This thing's going to come off the rails real quick.
Yep.
Just being a Philly sports fan, I mean, it's what we're used to.
That's what you expect. Yeah. You expect the Flyers to do Flyer things.
Right.
And they'll let up another stupid goal and then completely get out of it, and then the game's over. It just snowballs.
Exactly. So, things look like they were going to get really out of hand really quick.
And then there was a man named Travis Konecny.
That there was.
And what did he do, Mike?
You're going to talk about the Sunday game?
Well, I mean, we're going to talk about him scoring on Saturday.
Okay.
He scored the first Flyers goal on Saturday on an absolutely gorgeous tip.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That was a pretty little tip.
Forgot about that goal. I thought you were going into his, excellent play on Sunday. No, we're not getting to that.
We're not there yet.
We're not getting to that.
So Travis Konecny scores to tie the game.
Yep.
In the third period, 8 minutes in, too. We were getting down to crunch time.
Yeah. And then, 30 seconds, a minute later.
It was about 2 minutes later.
Carolina
walks
down
the ice and scores. And then another 2 minutes later, the Flyers just put their foot on the gas pedal.
Yeah, Lindblom's first NHL point.
Was on the primary assist to Jake
Voracek. Did you see that goal? Was beautiful.
It was a gorgeous play.
It was a terrific play. And Voracek, goal scoring wise, doesn't make a lot of beautiful, goal scoring type plays.
He's much more of a playmaker.
So that was a terrific play to find the open space in the net to get it in.
He scored his 17th goal of the season from Lindblom with his first point and Patrick.
Yeah.
And that feels like a good little stat line.
Patrick is getting better every game.
How many times do you think next season, we're going to hear the phrase Voracek from Lindblom and Patrick or some combination thereof?
Think they're going to go with this line?
Why not, right?
They're playing really well.
Patrick and Lindblom are only getting better.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then Val Filppula scored the eventual game winner.
It was a breakaway goal, right?
It was a nice little play.
Yeah,
Wayne Simmons sprung him.
Yeah, and he was talking about it after the game. He was only in that position because earlier the ref knocked him over. Earlier he had a scoring chance, and the ref knocked him over.
Yeah, he looped around the back of the net, and then the ref caught him.
So
he ended up falling. Yeah. And I think he was arguing with the ref. I never saw a camera shot of it, but the ref seriously impeded the play.
Yeah, that was like a late back check.
Carolina broke the play up the other way. 10 or 15 seconds later, the Flyers get the puck, clear it out. Filppula is all by himself in the neutral zone.
Right.
He's all by himself.
Yeah.
And he just walked in and buried it.
Did a little nice backhand, forehand shot goal. It was a nice move. You don't see Filppula making many moves like that.
Yeah, and then a couple minutes later, Michael Raffel scored the insurance marker, and the Flyers beat the Carolina Hurricanes in a huge game.
Huge game.
And now after the results of Sunday, Carolina broke the streak. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you lost to Winnipeg, you thought that might have been the turnaround. But then you you beat Carolina, and then you beat Washington.
Yeah.
So if this Flyers team is starting to get hot, like they kind of have a tendency to do, now's a good time to do it, because you got 9 games left.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not the best team. Sometimes it's the hot team.
I said that exactly last week. Now, before we go into Washington's game on Sunday, we're gonna stop talking Flyers for a minute.
Okay.
We're going to do a little bit of transition. We got a little bit of Eagles news. And then we're going to come back and talk about that Washington Capitals game, because that was a huge, 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 huge game.
Yes, it was.
Now, before we get into that, we're going to give you guys everybody's favorite segment.
Let's do
7
it.
Or 6 seconds, where we talk about the Philadelphia 76ers in 7 or 6 seconds. Take it away, Mike.
The Sixers went 2-1 last week, beating the Knicks and the Nets while losing to the Pacers.
And that's it. What did the Eagles do? just moving on.
Oh, you threw me off there. I wasn't ready for that question. Eagles defensive line is going to be filthy.
I don't know what the best defensive line in NFL history is, but I think if you go 7 or 8 people deep, this Eagles line has a chance.
Yeah.
Of being in that conversation.
They signed Haloti Ngata to a 1-year, $3 million deal.
And I heard him on WIP.
Yeah.
He wants to be here.
Oh, yeah. He just wants to win. Yeah.
He wants to win.
Yeah.
And he said Fletcher Cox is the one who kind of convinced him to come to Philly.
Yeah, he just said, you know, playing next to a guy like Fletcher Cox, like there's nobody like that in the league.
It's insane.
The best in the league. You know, he's going to make my job a lot easier, right, is basically what he was saying.
And Nata's a little bit on the older side at this point.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But that's exactly where the rotation comes in, because he doesn't have to play 60, 70 snaps a game. He can play 25, 30, be super, super effective, and stay at 100% the whole game.
Yeah. And he also, I mean, he's got Super Bowl experience.
Right.
He won a Super Bowl
with
Baltimore.
The Baltimore Ravens. Yeah. What was that, 2005?
That was 5 years ago. So.
Oh, was that recent?
Yeah, 5 years ago.
Wow. I don't watch much football.
Come on. We're Philly Sports Podcast. You don't watch football?
I watched the Eagles this year.
Yeah, I know. Speaking of, you know, more Eagles stuff.
Yeah.
They did lose, however, LeGarrette Blount. Signed a $2 million deal 1 year with the Detroit Lions.
So the Detroit Lions are going to go to the Super Bowl this year, right? That's how it works with LeGarrette Blount?
No. I'm pretty sure Detroit's cursed when it comes to Detroit Lions. But
why didn't Cleveland sign them?
I don't know. They're too busy making moves. Yeah.
They're gearing up.
And then they also released Vinny Curry. That was confirmed. That was official.
Yeah, that's just cost of doing business.
But
they got to make the money work.
Yeah, the thing with the money is interesting, because they were real tight against the cap.
Yeah.
And this Eagles team, it kind of shows they're a unit and they just want to win and be together. Because you saw multiple players restructure their contracts in the last week.
The big one, I think, was Lane Johnson.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see what Bud Light did for Lane Johnson?
No, what's that?
The other day, he woke up to about 15 cases of beer sitting on his front step.
Really?
About 15 cases of Bud Light sitting on his step. And there was a note from Bud Light that said something along the lines of, you know, you're a true hero. This is a gift for you for restructuring your contract. It was a whole big thing. It was really, really cool of Bud Light. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to try to find the exact note here. It was really, really cool. And they've really embraced the Philly thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, you look that up. I'll read another. Right.
Here's the note.
Oh, you got it. Okay.
Dear Lane, you have proven yourself a true friend of the crown in obtaining beer for your city following your Super Bowl victory. However, your latest gesture in restructuring your contract for the good of the Eagles of Philadelphia makes you an even truer friend of the crown. We know it wasn't exactly a pay cut, but anyone who makes a sacrifice to help out his team is a friend you can count on. And for that, we wanted to reward you with a few beers to share with your Eagles brethren. Dilly Dilly, your friends, Bud Light. And it's a lot of beer.
That's awesome.
So Lane tweeted out a picture of that and said, couple for me, couple for Joel Embiid, and the rest for the neighborhood. Come
That's
get
awesome.
It. How cool is that,
man? That is cool. I did not see that.
Like, I don't know who actually drinks Bud Light on purpose, but
come on, that's it's cool not of them for a brand. Bud Light. It's not bad. Bud Light.
That's cool of them as a brand to do.
Oh, for sure. No, their marketing team is real strong.
Oh, especially with the Eagles this year.
Yeah.
It all started with that bet that Lane Johnson made with them in the preseason.
Yep.
Actually, he didn't even make it with them. He made it with the city of Philadelphia.
Yeah, and then they were like, Bud Light just stepped
up.
Right.
Just absolutely stepped up. And we're going to give them a shout out right here. Bud Light, good for you.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have to follow advertising rules, but, you know, please enjoy responsibly.
This is a free advertising for them. Not that they need our advertising.
Please enjoy responsibly.
Philly. And then the Eagles also
We're never going to do that again.
Do what?
The Philly.
No, Philly. Why not? You're not going to make that a thing?
No.
Man, I think it is a thing.
I was
going to
say, I'm not making it a thing.
No, it is a thing. Okay. We're going to have to do it.
All right. Anything else?
Yeah, they signed linebacker Corey Nelson from the Denver Broncos.
I think he's a backup.
Yeah, probably.
He's not going to start for this team.
Probably.
All right.
They did sign Nigel Bradham, too, to an extension.
Yep. Yeah, they've done a really good job of trying to keep this team as together as they can.
And also, I don't know if we talked about this last week. I think it happened after the show. They released longtime tight end Brent Celek.
Yeah. Now, that's a weird move for me because you let Trey Burton walk.
Right.
Now, I could stand losing one of them because you had three good tight ends. You had Celek, Ertz, Burton. So to release Celek and also let Burton walk...
Now you're just stuck with, not stuck with, but you have Ertz.
I was going to say, can Ertz carry the team? Like, is Ertz a good enough tight end that they don't need anybody else?
Maybe you see them draft somebody. I don't know.
It confuses me because of how much the Eagles quarterbacks this year liked going to the tight end.
They did.
Especially in the red zone.
Right.
So that's why it confuses me, because it seems like it's a big target. Celek was a big target for Carson.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So was Zach Ertz. Yep. Well, Zach Ertz is obviously still here, but, you know, you got to double down on getting somebody. You got to get some reasonable backup.
Yeah, you got to do something. So I'm not sure who else is on the market right now, tight end wise.
That being said, right after you win a title, you kind of have to trust the office.
Yeah, I'm not going to question a thing at this point.
Right.
You know, like, how we do it, you do.
Right. Like, it's pretty hard to criticize when you just went 13-3 and brought home a title. Without your star quarterback. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. That being said, there was also a little bit of breaking news on Monday morning that it looks like the Eagles will be in the NFL kickoff game, which is pretty much expected. The Super Bowl champ usually gets that Thursday night primetime slot.
The opponent's interesting.
The interesting thing is the opponent. Now, I don't know how it happened, but in the week leading up to and the week after the NFC championship game, Minnesota decided that they didn't like Philly fans all that much. And now we get a chance to bring it back. The Eagles, as reported this morning, the Eagles will kick off the 2018 NFL season against the Minnesota Vikings on Thursday night.
I love it.
Yeah, man.
Rivalry is real.
I said,
do you think it's going to start a rivalry?
I said something right after the game on the show, after all these Minnesota fans came out crying about, oh, they were mean to me. Oh. And I said I wanted to play Minnesota early, and I wanted to play them in Philly.
You're going to get that.
Come at me.
Yeah.
We got this.
Yep.
Go Birds. I want that kid in the front row.
Yeah.
I want him on the 50-yard line.
It's going to be a fun game.
In the front row.
You know, the NFL kickoff Thursday night primetime game is going to be.
It's going to be fired up.
It really is.
They should put the banner up. They should present the rings.
They're going to. They're going to do all that.
It's going to be a big night. And it's kind of nice to have Minnesota have to watch us do that.
Yeah, for sure. I can't wait.
Remember that game we beat you in? Yeah, that's why this banner's up.
Right.
That's why we're getting these rings. Oh, and by the way, we won it in your stadium.
Yep.
So, sorry.
Now, speaking of tight ends, I just looked up.
And we beat you by 31, in case you guys forgot.
They whooped their ass.
Oh, yeah. Demolished.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolute demolition.
But speaking of tight ends, I just looked up available tight ends in free agency.
All right.
Okay, you got Eric Ebron, who was released by the Detroit Lions.
Okay.
Used to be a first-round pick. He was good. He's had some health issues, but he's a solid player.
Maybe he's a backup.
And then you also have Martellus Bennett from the Packers, I believe. He came over from New England to to Green Bay, but he's a free agent as well.
Yeah, I think the problem's going to be money. It's tight end is one of those things. I feel like they're going to see how much they spend on the rest of free agency.
Right.
And then kind of fill the gap with the best tight end they can afford.
Now, another name, not tight ends, but another name we've mentioned in the past on this podcast isn't signed yet, doesn't have a contract, and that would be Darren Sproles.
Okay.
So the question is, do you think they'll sign him, or is his career done, or is he going to go somewhere else? Like, what's the... I don't know what to do here with Darren Sproles.
With Blunt walking away and going and getting the money, which I don't fault him for. Good luck.
No, Blunt.
Like, there's no hard feelings at all. I think you got to give Sproles, if you can sign him cheap, which I imagine he'll take a cheap contract to play on this team. It seems like he was a big fan of playing here.
Yeah, and I don't think he's highly coveted around the league to the point where he's going to get big money somewhere else.
Nobody's going to offer him $2.5 million. I think if you can get him on a nice, cheap contract, I think he's going to come out with that same thing Carson Wentz is going to come out with. Yeah, the team won, but I didn't help him win. So I want to help him. I want to help him get back. I want to be a part of the team. And like, yeah, of course, Carson Wentz and Darren Sproles are getting rings from this team, but it's different when you're not on the field. And I think they want to be on the field when the confetti hits.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think Darren Sproles is going to come back. If they can get him cheap enough, which I imagine
they
will.
If they have the money and they can make it work financially.
Philly's a destination right now, man. Guys are going to come here for less money.
Yeah.
Not a ton less, but a little less than market value.
Yeah.
And I think a guy like Darren Sproles will come and sign a one-year deal for the shot at being on the field when the Super Bowl ends and the confetti starts raining down and they give Doug Peterson the Gatorade bath.
Yeah.
I think he wants to be on the field for that, just like Carson Wentz does.
Of course.
Think about the Eagles situation right now. If Carson Wentz wins a Super Bowl in his second season, maybe he gets a little lax. Maybe he goes, okay, I've achieved it all. I'm good. Let's hold it.
Right.
Now, they won without him. He's got that fire in the belly where he's going to want to go win it for himself. He wants to be the Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
He wants to throw the winning touchdown.
Well, yeah, because us... as a sports city, we're idiotic, and most of us are moronic.
Oh my God, I've heard and so many people saying
that
Nick Foles should be the starting quarterback this year.
And as soon as Wentz falters, throws an interception to something, that's going to be the argument.
I think that's why you have to trade Nick Foles.
Yeah, it doesn't look like they're going to.
I know. Now, it might be a situation like Sam Bradford, where you trade him in training camp, essentially.
Right. Somebody's going to have to get hurt in somebody else's camp.
Somebody's quarterback goes down in the first preseason game. But at that point, you got him held ransom. And you can charge you can charge him out the nose because Nick Foles is a Super Bowl MVP from this year. So I think they're going to end up moving him. I don't know when that'll be. I don't know if it's going to take a preseason injury to get it done.
It's probably what it's going to be if I had to guess, because it doesn't look they're going to trade him.
But they happen every year.
Yeah.
They happen
with the Sam Bradford year. One, and they made out like bandits on that.
Oh, yeah. What did they get? Two first-round picks for that?
A first and a fourth, I think it was.
Something like that. They robbed Minnesota blind.
Yeah. Thanks, Minnesota.
Thanks again, Minnesota. Thanks for letting us beat you in the NFC Championship game. Thanks for letting us win the Super Bowl in your stadium. Yeah, Minnesota's done a lot for us recently.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys. All right. I think we've wrapped up enough Eagles talk. It's time to come back to some Flyers.
Yeah.
So after beating the Carolina Hurricanes on Saturday, Flyers returned home right up 95. They passed Washington to come home.
Yep.
And they played the Washington Capitals on a Sunday afternoon game. It was a 5 o'clock start, which is weird.
I don't like 5 o'clock starts. Make it at 7 or make it at 1.
For some reason, the Sunday games at the end of the season are always weird. On Sunday, they played the Washington Capitals at 5 o'clock. Next Saturday, they play the Pittsburgh Penguins in Pittsburgh at 12:30. That'll be the national game.
Yep.
And then the last week of the season, the last Sunday of the season for the Flyers, they play the Boston Bruins at 12:30 in Wells Fargo Center.
Yep.
So three afternoon games in a, not in a row, but one week after the other. And
Yeah, and then the week after that, the last weekend of the season, their last game of the season, Saturday, April 7th, they play the Rangers at 3 o'clock.
Yep, also at home. Finishing at home is nice. Carolina and the Rangers.
Yeah.
That's a good way to end the season. Your last big trip of the year is Long Island. This week, the Flyers play Detroit in Detroit on Tuesday. They play the Rangers at home on Thursday, and then they play Pittsburgh next Sunday in Pittsburgh. But about that Washington game, Flyers played a really nice game.
They did. Absolutely.
Like a really good game. They played really, really, really well. And like we hinted at earlier, they shut down Ovi.
Yeah.
Ovi didn't do anything.
Not really, other than, he scored one goal.
He scored one goal on a tip that he didn't even really shoot.
Right.
Right? And then he had an assist on another goal. He was also minus one. He had two shots. So he got one shot other than that tip.
Right.
And a couple weeks ago, he had 15.
Right.
In a game by himself.
I don't know. He definitely likes to rip the shot. Like,
oh, he's an aggressive shooter. Yeah. He'll shoot the puck 300 times a year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the fact that you held him to two shots and one of them, again, wasn't even really a shot, that's the kind of defense you need.
Speaking of really nice shots, Oscar Lindblom, first NHL goal.
He had a big weekend. He had his first point on Saturday, that assist on the Voracek goal. And on Sunday, the puck squirted out. The puck got hit out to him in the slot. He was all by himself.
All by himself.
And just absolutely ripped it past Philip Grubauer.
Yeah, right over his shoulder.
That was a sniper's goal right there.
Yeah.
That was a goal scorer's goal.
And a goal scorer's celly to top it off.
It was indeed. He definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Why wouldn't you? It's your first National Hockey League goal. Like, go out there and own it.
And he was all by himself too, man. He was, I don't know how he got so wide open, but he's shown a really good tendency throughout his career so far to just be in the right position.
Yeah, granted, it's a very small sample size and a small career so far.
14 games.
But it's still a small sample size.
Yeah.
But he does look like he's got the intelligence and the wherewithal to know what he's doing on the ice.
He had 20-plus chances in those 14 games.
Right.
So he's at least getting himself in position.
Yeah.
And
he's starting to skate better.
Right.
He's really strong along the boards, which I really like. And he's just at the right place at the right time.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit last week about him almost feeling a little snake bitten, and it was starting to get in his head a little bit, and I think it was.
Maybe the monkey's off his back now.
Oh, it absolutely is. Yeah. I think the point on Saturday helped free him up for the goal on Sunday.
Right.
Because he didn't try to do anything too fancy. He didn't try to make a move. He didn't try to make a pass. He got the puck in the slot, let it rip, killed it.
Yeah, he's also not getting a ton of ice time either. Like Sunday, he had 12 minutes of ice time.
Right. And that's about what I want him to get.
Right.
I don't need him playing 16 or 17 minutes a game at 21 years old or however old he is.
Yeah.
He's still weaning his way into the NHL. He's getting good quality ice time. And this team is starting to click four lines deep. Like, the Wiesla-Tara line is always going to be terrible, depending on who
because
their fourth is.
Because it has Dale Weiss on it.
Right.
It doesn't even matter who the fourth is. Dale Weiss is awful.
That's fair. But depending on who their third is, you know, that line is always going to be your weak spot. But I also think the Flyers are starting to get to the point where I think they can play with just about any team if they're on their game.
That's the thing, is if they're on their game.
Right. Because they've been streaky, especially over the last 2 months.
Yeah. They'll win 10 in a row. 10 games off. Right, exactly. Then 10 off, then 5 on, then, you know, 6 off. And
right.
So if they're hot into the going into the playoffs, then yeah, they can beat anybody.
Right. As we noted, they beat Carolina on Saturday. They beat Washington on Sunday. There are 9 games left.
Yeah.
As of the time of this recording. There are 9 games left. If they can roll 10 deep into the playoffs, hopefully that three-day gap between the end of the season and the first playoff game is enough for them to reset and stay hot.
Yeah.
Because you're not turning it around right away where you're playing night after night and eventually you get burned out. You're playing well. If they continue to roll, they're playing well. You know, they're going for the division crown. They're not too far out of the crown, right?
They're still not out of the woods yet when it comes to playoffs.
Washington
in general
is sliding. Washington has lost 3 of their last 4.
No, I understand. And they're still 4 points behind Washington. Washington also has a game in hand.
Yeah, but the division title is very much in play.
Sure, but so is missing the playoffs.
It's not really, though.
I mean, sure it is. Columbus and New Jersey are both 2 points. Or I'm sorry. Columbus is 2 points back of Philly.
Yeah.
And the Devils are 3 points back. Each of them have a game in hand.
Right. And if you fall down to the Devils, you're still in the playoffs.
Yeah, but Florida's, you know, only what? Eight points back? Okay, with four games at hand.
Yeah, but they're not going to win all four of those games.
No, but say they do, and then the Flyers, you know, lose a few. All I'm saying is they're not out of the woods. I think they're going to miss the playoffs? At this point in time, no. I think they're going to make the playoffs.
I would say they're 95%+.
But they're not out of the woods yet.
I agree. They have 9 games left. I think they need to get 12 points. If they play slightly above 500 hockey, I think they're in very good shape.
Yeah.
They're going to have... 12 points put them at 97. Right. You're not going to miss the playoffs with 97 points.
Right.
You're just not.
Probably not, no.
No, especially because you're playing the division most of the way here.
Right.
You're playing the East all the way except for 2 games next week against Dallas and Colorado. It's Detroit, the Rangers, Pittsburgh, Dallas, Colorado, Boston, the Islanders, the Hurricanes again, and the Rangers again.
Right.
You're playing a lot of division, a lot of conference games the rest of the way. Now, thankfully, Detroit is awful.
Yeah, but usually they lose to the bad teams. Right. And then they beat the really good teams. Like they play up to their competition and play down to their competition.
Right. Now, if you look at this, Detroit's out of the playoffs. And I know they're not like officially eliminated here. I'm just
realistically pretty damn close.
Realistically speaking, Detroit's out. The Rangers are out. The Islanders are out. The Hurricanes are out. And the Rangers are out. So 5 of the last 9 are easily winnable games.
For sure, yeah.
And if you win all 5 of those, there's 10 points right there. Then you only need to squeak 2 points out of Pittsburgh, Dallas, Colorado, and Boston.
Yeah, that's if the right Flyers team shows up in those games, though. We don't know, because when they step on the ice, you never know what Flyers team you're getting.
Based on that game Sunday in Washington, they played with swagger. They played hard. They played physical. Travis Konechny played out of his mind. Can I talk about Travis Konechny for a second?
Ahead.
Travis Konechny went absolutely insane in yesterday's game. He blocked a shot, came off the ice, saw Jimmy McCrossin, hung out with him for a little bit, missed a shift, came back out. His first shift out, he blocks another shot and skates immediately to the bench, smiling because he's like, yeah, of course I got hurt again. He missed one shift, comes back, takes a high stick, and gets in a fight. Travis Konechny is an absolute animal.
It was the most Flyers 10 minutes ever.
I hate Brad Marchand, but if Travis Konechny grows up to be just like him, I'm pretty happy about it.
Yeah.
I hate Brad Marchand because he's not on my team. But
right.
Travis Konechny is Brad Marchand.
I wouldn't go that far.
What's the difference? Please explain it to me. He's not as annoying. Yes, he is. He can't score. Yes, he can. He can't assist. Yes, he can. What's the difference? Difference is he's 21 years old and hasn't gotten there yet.
Maybe.
He's Brad Marchand.
I don't know.
He's Brad Marchand.
I wouldn't say that yet. I think.
But you also said Anthony Stolarz would never play again. You also said on episode 1 that the Flyers would never make the playoffs.
Okay.
So.
No,
what does your opinion mean, Mike?
My opinion is pretty strong, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Tell me more about how Travis Konechny is. Let's talk about this for a second.
I think
let's break down this comparison.
The main part of Brad Marchand's game is his peskiness. I don't necessarily think that's Konechny's game.
He's getting there.
Maybe it was because it was the Washington Capitals, and maybe there's some sort of rivalry. I haven't seen that side of Travis Konechny all that often.
You also can't really see it because you're a fan and because you like him.
You know me.
He's in faces every game.
No, I understand. But
he's chirping people every game.
You know me. I'm a real realistic person when it comes to what I see
and don't see.
So I just don't say that side to the level of Brad Marchand yet.
I think it's getting there. But I also think that if he's 10% less pesky and 20% more effective offensively, that's an upside.
I don't even know if he's going to be more effective, more offensively.
I think he will.
Because, I mean, have you read the stat over the last 100 games?
Whatever.
The last 100 games played, he's had the most amount of points out of anybody in the NHL.
Games played.
Yeah, games played.
Not the time he spent suspended.
No, right. I'm sure there are a few in there.
Yeah. But at least a couple, including what should have been a suspension after the Anthony Duclair incident.
But if that game on Sunday is the way that they come out during the playoffs every single game, then yes. But if they come out the way they did on Saturday for 48 minutes,
right?
You know,
think about Travis Konecny and how he's going to play in games 3 and 4 of a playoff series.
Yeah, like every shift will be like it's his last.
When he's under some skin and when he's in people's heads, he's going to be a very, very effective player for the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
I'm going to come out and say it right now. Travis Konecny is going to be point per game in the playoffs.
Point per game, huh?
Yep.
Okay.
You heard it here. Episode 13.
12.
No, it is 12. You're right.
Wow.
Episode 12. Travis Konecny will be point per game in the 2018 postseason for the Philadelphia Flyers. How do you feel about that one?
Sure, it could happen.
All right. Good talk.
Like they could play.
Good talk, Mike.
They could play. I mean, so the playoffs started today, right? If the playoffs started today, they would play the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, they would.
Ultimately, I think I'll pick Pittsburgh to win that series.
Of course. Of course you would.
Because I told you, I'm a realistic person.
And I'm a homer. We got it. Yeah. I understand.
So
the listeners understand.
So I would pick that series to go 5 or 6 games. Probably 6 games.
At least 6. Yeah.
Konecny could have 6 points in 6 games. It's not impossible. It's not that hard. On a team that scores a ton of goals and against a team that gives up a lot of goals.
How many NHL playoff points do you have, Mike?
Okay. That's really the argument you're going to make right now.
Listen, we're gonna wrap it up before we go down this. We'll start getting into the playoffs a little bit more next week because we'll be much closer. And we're definitely going to do a full-blown preview show after the regular season ends, previewing the first-round matchup. Is there anything else you wanted to say before we get out of here?
We teased it last week. Do you want me to give you the Gaudreau story?
Nah, we're going to keep teasing it.
Keep teasing it? All right, we'll keep teasing it.
We're going to save that for a week where we run out of steam a little early.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's only a five-minute story, but...
We're running a touch long today.
Okay.
So, that's you would think, man. You would think. The Philly Sports Podcast. You can find the show on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at K Collington. You can find Mike at Mike_Giletto. Our logo is created for us by Benny the Jet 55. See, Ben, I didn't forget you this week. Relax.
We never forget, Ben.
And we forgot him the last 2 weeks.
Did we?
Yeah. Anyway, Ben, go follow him. Commission his artwork. Follow his YouTube, his Twitch. Give him a follow.
He's busy. He does a lot of shit.
He does a lot of stuff. He does at least 17 podcasts. I don't listen to any of them, but they're probably good. Anyway, that's where you can find Ben. You can find the show on Twitter. I said that. Me, Mike. You can find the show on Facebook, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, and lastwordonsports.com.
We are everywhere.
We are everywhere. All right. And until next week, take it easy.
Hold on.
Blooper.
Just slowed us down. SB Nation just posted a video on Twitter. Carson Wentz is throwing again.
Yeah.
He started to throw, so there's that.
All right. Anyway, now that
let's get out of here.
Now that you're done here.
Yeah, I'm done.
All right, guys. Follow us everywhere. We'll see you next week.